Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with people who are regulars and biologists who are molecular. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big facting. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
All of this has been trash. Let's start the podcast from here. Wait, right. Let me take a big drink, you know, loosen up a little.
Should we talk more about Two Spirit?
That's my favorite rapper.
Mm.
What are you drinking on? What are you sipping on?
A little grapefruit White Claw.
Oh, nice. Adrian, this weekend, I went to a golf tournament, and there was a bartender at the golf tournament, and I asked for a Black Cherry White Claw.
Mm-hmm.
And she went into the
cooler. I feel like you can just say White Claw for that, right? That's the default.
Well, she went into the cooler and pulled out so many mangoes and wasn't finding a black cherry, and I felt bad. And I didn't really care which one I got. I think I just saw that on the, like, menu. So mm-hmm. That's what I said. I was like, yeah, I could just get a mango. And she's like, no. There's definitely White Claw in here. Let me find it for you. And then continued to take forever. And I really want to be like, I would really rather get my drink quickly than get the one I specifically mm-hmm. asked for.
You think that's how they kind of tried to scheme the open bar? Was like, yeah, you can order a drink, but it's going to take me 30 minutes to find it.
Yeah, and you're like, can I get a... Yeah, I mean, that explains why I was like, can I have a gin and tonic? And she's like, I don't know that one. What's it at?
Let me figure out a recipe and I'll get back to you. No, that sounded like a fun time. How was the golfing?
It was fun, man. Honestly, the first time I saw a ball, we were on the 15th screen. We had like a little setup there. And the first time I saw a ball come in, I was like... Wait, what the fuck? They could get it that close from that far away? Really, in person, you're like, wow, they're good at this.
Yeah. How do you feel about being a part of such a counter-revolutionary endeavor?
I don't feel like it was counter-revolutionary. I think you should have seen the people who were there. It was basically the same crowd that's at every big sporting event.
Okay, all right. I see how you're trying to wash your hands of this.
What else was there?
So that was your Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Did you do anything that night?
No, I just came back home and chilled. Kind of nice. Sobered up. Drank a lot of water as I was sobering up, so I didn't feel too bad. It was nice.
What a responsible Saturday from Paul.
What, you want me to rally? You want me to be like a college student, get back home and be like, rally, yeah. I'm all alone, but let me get even drunker tonight.
Yeah.
How about you? What did you get up to Saturday?
Being sick. Dying. Losing my will to live.
This has been going on a while. Have you, like, double-checked that it's not more than a common cold and isn't, like, a infection of some sort?
That's just how being old and immunocompromised is. It takes me, like, 2 weeks to get over, like, even the smallest colds now.
Damn, buddy, I'm sorry.
Hey, you know how it is. It's a feature of life at this point. Wait, what did I... I had a happy hour on Friday. That was fun. After my physical therapy, I went to... the Nashville Hot Chicken place to see Charlie and Spencer and hang out for a bit. That was cool.
Okay.
And then Dora Lee is, you know, out being her poly self. And one of the guys that she's seeing sent her all the login info for his stuff. And she screenshotted it, sent it to me. So I've been watching that HBO Max for a few days. It's been good.
Are you worried that he's going to beat you at any point?
Nah. You know, Doralee's a good partner to people, so I'm sure they'll have a good relationship.
Doralee's like the Spice Girls. If you want to be my lover, you better give Adrian your login, your HBO Max login. Figure out how to make that work, Adrian. Come on, you're the Weird Al of this podcast. Everybody said so.
He also gave me his Peacock and Disney Plus, but I was less interested in those. But maybe I'll check out some Peacock stuff eventually. But yeah, so I was watching, you know, everyone's trying to get me to watch Barry. I don't know who these people are in terms of how much time they think I have on my hands.
Barry? That's not a real show. That's NBC's money laundering operation.
No. That's on HBO Max. That's not on NBC.
I don't care what it's on. That's not a real show.
I refuse to believe that Bill Hader can do a serious role. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. It's ending in the season that's currently running, so people are like, oh, you gotta get on it, man. It's so good. It's one of the best shows on TV. And it's like, I don't know. That's what people said about other stuff that I didn't need to spend my time watching. Same with Succession, although I've heard Succession's actually pretty good.
Succession's a good one. I like it. But I wouldn't try to get anybody to watch it. Why would you ever try to get anybody to watch a show at this point? There's so much on. Everybody already knows what they like.
Yeah, that's why I watched Fired from Mars, and now I'm watching Crashing, Pete Holmes' old show.
Oh, I watched like 2 episodes of that. It didn't really capture me.
I just like seeing comedians that I know. It really is like the same thing as like what people say about the Super Mario movie. It's just like, oh, I know that guy. That guy's Bill Burr. I like him.
Somebody watched the YMS review.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wait, felt about
the Lucas
that.
Brothers are in this episode? It wasn't really a review, was it?
He just shat on the people who liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kept calling them babies.
Which is kind of true. Although I wish he was harsher on Marvel movies, to be honest with you, at this point.
Yeah, if you're going to do that to the Mario movie, you could at least, like, double up on Thor Ragnarok. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
But other than that, I am going to go see Ponyo tonight. So I'm pretty excited. Little Ghibli Fest movie back in the theaters. I was supposed to go with my baby boy Marshall, but apparently he's busy.
With what?
He's working on trying to suck his own dick.
Ah, yeah, that surgery to get that rib removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's still recovering from that. Oh, shit, speaking of which.
Speaking about sucking your own dick, okay. Let's see where this one goes.
Speaking about recovering, apparently my undergrad got hit by a fucking car, so that's why he was late in sending me his last submission. So obviously not fatal or anything, but he, like, sent me an email just now that was like, hey, here's my next draft. I think I'm gonna ask for extension. I got hit by a car in April. And I was like, damn, okay. Well, I guess that's just part of being a bee researcher since that happened to me too, but damn, dog.
Damn. I feel better. Okay. What type of car?
Ford Focus. He's fine. You should see what the car looks like.
I
wonder if I left a dent in that van that I got hit by.
It was a van. You know, I've never asked you what type of car it was. A van. It was not what I was imagining. That's funny.
No, like a straight up like blue Dodge Caravan, like just big boy.
Ooh. That does seem like the type of car a confused old man would be driving.
Yeah, an old man who was like, I don't know where I am.
His head barely popping up over the steering wheel if you're looking at him through the front windshield. It's like his hands and like his eyes right above it.
His glasses are so big and thick, they like magnify and his whole pupil, you see it all. I thought this was a Wendy's.
He's on a airport taxi strip for the plane. He's like, one chicken nugget, please.
He's hitting a kid while he's graduating from college, walking the stage. He's like, I thought this was a country buffet.
I thought this was a lizard thicket.
No, the closest one is in South Carolina.
You were in South Carolina when it happened.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Anything else that you did that was fun this week?
No, I'm going to see Maria Bamford. That seems like somebody who would be in Crashing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, should I have any kind of critical review of that show, since you kind of were critical of it? I don't like how a lot of it shows his rise to stardom of just him meeting famous people and them liking him. I don't know if that's how it actually happened for Pete, but that is the premise of the show, is like, I met Bill Burr and he liked me, and so he put me on a show.
I mean, hey, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know, Adrian. Networking.
You know? Come on now.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I honestly bet being fun to hang out with is why we have so many kind of crummy comedians with Netflix specials.
That's probably true. I mean, how do you think Bobby Lee gets around?
That is the perfect example of somebody who's not funny but just seems to be friends with everyone.
Oh, I also need to do, apparently Rory Scovel's new special is really funny. Phil keeps trying to get me to watch that, so. All right. Anything else? Anything culturally going on? Anything in the news? Did you watch the coronation?
No, I didn't. Did you?
I don't actually know if anyone watched it. Was it televised? It feels like something would be televised.
It is, except for the one part of it where he actually becomes king. That's too holy to televise.
And is it true that they played, oh, I just can't wait to be king?
Yeah, that is true.
He had a little dance number while he was walking up the aisle.
Britain's a little bit behind us, so you know how in America it was big to dance down the wedding aisle like 7 or 8 years ago?
To that Chris Brown song?
Yeah. They did that for the coronation.
Mm-hmm.
The one part of it that went viral, did you not see this, was Katy Perry couldn't find her seat. She was a little lost.
She was like, I thought this was a lizard's thicket.
She was like, where's the left shark to show me my way? Oh, you see, I'm mixing two memes.
Hey, come on now. Wait, was she actually at the coronation?
Yeah.
Why? Why would you want to go to that?
I don't know.
She's a weirdo, though.
It seems like a lot of people give it a lot more deference than you would think they would as Americans. It's a very weird thing.
It's a weird thing for an American to want to go to, though.
I know.
I understand that the polls show that, like, most Britons want to be ruled by a monarchy or whatever weird shit they're into, but...
Yeah, but to be fair, for them, for most of them at this point, it's a kink. They can't get off if they don't feel like there's a king who rules over their lives.
That's true. They're just nasty, nasty boys and girls. And envies. Well, no envies on Turf Island.
It's Turf Island, Adrian.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Before we get into the theme, can I say, I was a little drunk when I agreed to this yesterday. I was very drunk.
Oh, yeah. This was based on a three-way call.
And I don't think we should take Phil's advice, and I don't think I should accept themes anymore while drunk. And what I realized today when I was
Wait. Are you trying to say that Phil and I non-consensually forced you into taking on a theme that you didn't want to take?
Yes. What a bad idea.
That's... Okay, that's strong language.
What a non-idea. It was your language, Adrian.
But you agreed to it. At least we didn't agree to his first idea, which, again, it's one of those things where I love the boy, but I don't know why Phil will say an idea, hear me not vibe with it, and be like, okay, but I gotta bring it up again at some point, or multiple times. So we're asking for a theme, and he's like, I know Adrian already said he doesn't like the idea, but cancel businesses.
Oh yeah, that one also didn't make very much sense, but we ended up going with the usual, which also makes so little sense. I don't know how we can... I'll have
what are you talking
usual.
About? It's just about being a regular somewhere.
It's the type of idea you come up with when you're not thinking about how hard it's going to be to find a column.
Well, that's what happens when you ask a third party who doesn't have to be here for this. Although he did offer to call in if you wanted to.
Let's make him call in.
Let's make him call in, piece of shit.
I also don't have a lot to say about
I know where Phil's a regular.
Somewhere. Oh, go ahead.
I was talking to him on the phone today, and once again, he was stopping at his Zaxby's. I don't know how many percentage of calls I have where Phil is stopping on his Zaxby's on the way home.
Hey, that's like Chick-fil-A, but not homophobic. Why wouldn't you go there?
That's true.
I'm joking. It's way better than Chick-fil-A. They got nibblers. They got the Wings and Tings meal. They got...
Wait, whoa, whoa. It is not Wings and Tings.
You're right. It is Wings and Tings, but it's... I mean, you haven't been to their Jamaican location. That's where they... It's a Wings and Tings meal.
Okay, Drake. Okay, so Paul is not a regular anywhere.
No, I think the problem is I'm always more interested in trying something new.
Ooh,
I like going new places, and even if I'm going somewhere I have been before and like, I want to order something new, except maybe for coffee spots. Like, I'll get the same coffee order from the same place often.
Well, that's reasonable. That would be ridiculous.
But other than coffee, like food and stuff, nah, I don't really want the same meal that often from the same place.
Okay, all right. I feel you. If you were going to do a last meal, it would just be new stuff?
I think it'd be my mama's food. My mama's home cooking. I'm a regular at my mama's house.
Ooh, okay. Does she know you by name?
Nah. She's like, I can't place you. I know you.
Who are you?
I know I've seen you before, but I just can't place you. How about you?
I used to sort of be a regular at the pizza place in town. I don't know if... I feel like if I told them, like, I'll have the usual, they would have known, but I was never suave enough to try.
Yeah.
I was always like, I'll just give you my order, which is a pepperoni pizza, add sausage, add goat cheese to go, and get a beer while I wait.
The problem is, also, if you're a usual somewhere, that leaves open the potential to have an awkward interaction that makes you not want to go to your favorite place again.
Like the time when I went there for happy hour with my grad group and I was the only one who got three beers and I like kept going up and they're like, we'll just open up a tab for you if you want. And I was like, all right, it's not that much beer. It's like, I know you guys aren't a bar, but like you guys serve beer.
We'll call a rehab for you if you need, buddy. You don't need to keep coming back up here.
Like everybody in your group only got one. You know, and I was, you got here early and you're also outpacing them.
God, dude, I hate it when you go somewhere and people only get one beer or get kombuchas. It's like, okay, what, you want me to have a boring time too?
Come on now.
I will say, that does remind me, I told you this story the other week, but I am sort of a regular at the places I buy cigars from.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the other week I was wearing a DSA shirt, because I was coming from an event. I happened to be wearing the shirt. And
this is another argument we had about things being counter-revolutionary.
Oh, cigars?
Yeah.
Sorry that some socialists like to enjoy the finer things in life, Adrian.
Champagne socialists.
Oh, yeah. Also, whatever. We're not rehashing this argument. I was about to bring up another point about why cigars aren't counter-revolutionary.
Were you about to bring up the Cubans again?
Yeah. So I was like, I don't really want to go in there because what if they say something weird about it and then it makes it awkward for me to go in there because I do like the cigar shop.
Yeah.
I like
and
the
like
vibe.
Once you know how they feel about those things, and it's also
it
like,
ruins
oh,
it. Like yeah. One of my favorite ice cream places in Charlotte, I don't go to anymore because they sent a mean email to DSA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like, I just don't want to know their opinion on this. But I went in to grab the cigars. There was some. Honestly, it was a jam-packed full of events visit. I'm not going to go over what happened. There was a drunk guy there. He was doing all sorts of weird stuff.
Wait, that's the best part of the story.
You want that part of the story?
Yeah.
There was a drunk guy in there who he like got in there right before me and another guy did and immediately walks up to the table and is taking the guy at the counters. Like, he's taking all his time. He's like, oh my god, dude, like, my boy's in town, and, like, last time he was here, we had these great cigars, but I can't remember what they were. Can you pull up my, like, can you, like, check my credit card info and see what I bought last time? And the guy's, like, going through his tab, like, looking for everything. He's like, oh, yeah, man, thank you. Oh, yeah, my boy's really gonna appreciate it. We're just trying to have a, by the way, it's 3 p.m., so this guy's drunk so early in the day. At one point he's like, you guys have like a membership here, right, man? What, like, what's up with that? And the guy's like, oh yeah, it's like you get like a handful of cigars a month. It's like $120 a month. The guy like, oh no, man, I can't do that. I can't afford that. It's like, nobody was trying to make you buy it. Like, why are you getting so, like, it wasn't like the guy was like trying to upsell him. He asked about it. He told him the price and what you get. And he was like, oh man, no, I can't do that. I can't, no, man, that's too much. You know, like, I appreciate y'all doing that, but that's too much, man. I can't do that. It's like, okay, dude. Eventually he gets his cigars. Like, you know, it takes him like 5 minutes to go around the store, talk to this guy, figure out what he wants, how he wants it. He gets his cigars. Even the checkout, he's so confused about, like, the guy asking him, like, do you want me to cut these for you? He's so confused about that. And seems like he doesn't really understand what it means. I don't really know if he's smoked a cigar before. This guy seemed confused. As he's leaving, he's like, I was taking all your time. I appreciate it, dog. I appreciate you so much. And then goes to every person in line. So it was just the two of us who'd been there the whole time waiting to buy our cigars. We'd quickly picked out and got in line to buy. And he walks up to us individually. It's like, man, I appreciate you, dog. And it's just like, I know it took a long time. And it's like, you guys were so nice the whole time. It's just like, I appreciate that. Like, you just let me have my time. I was like, you're good, man. Please stop talking to me. Please get away from me. When I did get to the front, the guy was very kind about my DSA shirt. It seemed like he was a lefty more in like the socialist Democrat vein, but he was a nice guy. He asked me about it, and it was a pleasant conversation. And I was like, oh, look at me stereotyping cigar guys as counter-revolutionary, and he was just a good guy.
Like a goddamn Jubilee video up in there. And you're a regular there.
Yeah, except the guy who usually is working when I go in, he works a late shift when I would typically go in, definitely doesn't recognize me, and it really annoys me because I'm like, I come in often enough that you should recognize me.
I do have that sometimes about whether or not I get in there for the morning shift or the night shift at the coffee shop that I always go to. Also, they always have turnover because it's like, you know, a pretty transient place. So there's like a couple of main dudes who I've known for like years now, and then there's always just new people cycling in and out. And I think I've told you before about how the only thing I get there is tea or black coffee. And so over the years, I've amassed so many loyalty points. And every time they ask, like, do you want to use your free drink? And I'm like, I don't know. You always tell me to save it for when I'm going to get something nice. So I only use it whenever someone's with me. Like, I'll get to Pinoc like a nice fancy latte or something. Oh. But it's not worth it for like a black coffee.
Yeah.
And you can't use it on beer, which is bullshit.
Bullshit. Is that like a legal thing where you can't like give away free beer under a loyalty program?
No, I think it's just a money thing. I don't think even the fanciest latte like goes up to like $8 or whatever they're charging for a beer.
Sadly, I've never been cool enough to walk in somewhere and just ask for the huge.
I don't even think they would know what I meant if I had said the usual, because I do switch it up there often enough. I went to an Irish bar over in the town over, and I got a Negroni. And after I drank the Negroni, I drank it a couple of sips, and I was like, It's a really simple cocktail. Like, there's really no way to mess it up. I don't know why this tastes weird. But at the end of it, when me drinking it, she comes over and she's like, oh, did I, how was the Negroni, by the way? And I was like, oh, it was good. And she was like, okay, cool. Cause like, no one orders, like, you're the only person who orders a Negroni. So like, I forgot the recipe. I thought there was Sazerac in it. And I don't think there is. And I was like, no, there isn't, but that's okay.
I like how you, I do like that vibe of no matter how bad something is, if somebody asks, if a waiter or waitress asks you, I'm going to be like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's, oh, I was just talking to Phil about that. When I was going to happy hour with Spencer and Charlie, they were coming from a beekeeping thing in Davis. So I got my first drink during happy hour, but before they got there. And I think the person who worked there was like new. So I got a Negroni. It was supposed to be $8 on happy hour. She charged me full price. And I just didn't say anything because I didn't want it to be awkward. And Phil was like, nah, I totally get that. Phil was like, I'm at the point where if I go to a restaurant and they give me the completely wrong thing, but it's still something that I would eat, I just won't say anything about it.
They bring him a plate with a comically oversized swordfish coming off both mm-hmm. ends of the plate. He's like, I've never had this before. I'll try it.
Sometimes life throws you curveballs. You gotta accept them. Now, contrast that with a guy who I saw at the bar when I was watching the Celtics game with Pierce, who ordered a shot of Fireball.
And was like, wait, this is $5? That's way too expensive. Can you pour it back in?
The bartender mishears him and gives him a shot of whiskey. So he drinks it and makes a really big fuss of like, whoa, that'll put some hair on your chest. And he like looks at us and he's like, I thought that was gonna be Fireball. That was whiskey. And then if the waitress comes over, he points out the fact that it was the wrong shot. And he's like, so can I get that shot of Fireball? And she's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then she pours in the Fireball, brings it over. And he's like, I just want to make sure I'm not paying for that whiskey, right? Because that's not what I asked for. And she's like, you're not going to pay for a shot that you didn't ask for. And he was like, all right, okay, okay. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it was so clear what the playthrough was in his head where he was like, I'm going to sneak my way to a free shot.
Wait, I did do that with you and Phil, though. I definitely went to get us, I went to get Phil a free drink whenever they were taking forever for our pizza at that pizza place.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's slightly different.
I mean, I just ask politely, like,
hey, sometimes you need people like that in your life, you know? That's what I was, I think I've told this story before on pod, but when we were somewhere out of town, maybe Charleston, with my brother and his ex-husband, and they didn't have the room ready for us in time. And so all of my family was just sitting there like, all right, well, I guess we wait. And then his white ex-husband was like, no, they can't treat us like this. I'm going to go up and talk to them. And I was like, damn, I guess sometimes you need a dude like that.
Except when he said they can't treat us like this, he purposefully pointed at him and his white family and not like he didn't include you guys in his hand circle.
He was the only one who was with us. But yeah, he more or less meant that. I'm a regular at my pharmacy, I'll tell you what. They know me pretty well. They really got to know me during COVID because they had to come out and bring stuff to you directly. Mm-hmm. I think one time the lady did mention once about how it had been a weirdly long time since I last saw her or whatever. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say to someone who's picking up medication, but okay.
Hey, maybe she was flirting with you, which is a great transition into my column if you want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
This was published on thecoast.ca. So I guess it's California?
Canada.
Well, that makes way more sense. It is Cheryl Hahn's opinion column. So it's posted in 2017.
Did you see the CH?
Is there a non-creep?
Trying to figure out what the rest was.
I said Cheryl Hahn.
You said Charlie first. You could feel more embarrassed about it, is all I'm saying.
I make these mistakes all the time. I'm sorry.
No, I accept you as you are, Paul.
Is there a non-creepy way to ask someone out when they're working? Oh, that's funny. This column is called Ask Hole. Okay. Hey, Ask Hole.
Oh, come on.
I've got a major crush on the barista at my local coffee shop. I know it's part of the job to be friendly. And I remember... Now you know why I brought it in. And I remember how gross it was when dudes would hit on me back when I was a server. But there's a serious flirtatious vibe between us. And I want to at least try to take things beyond morning lattes. Is there any non-creepy way to ask out a barista, pizza delivery person, bartender, while they're on the job?
Okay, did we start answering it?
I just finished reading, and you were frozen.
Okay, so did you have the Justin revelation too? Or
yeah, that's why I picked it.
Okay, because Justin is a little freak who asked out a barista. He just...
I didn't know that the story had progressed, so do you want to give us an update on that?
I hopefully he actually listens to this episode. He's very bad at listening, so I want him to get a little shout-out. Friend of the pod, Justin. I can't remember. This was, like, a long time ago, like 2 years ago, where he was... when he was back in grad school, he was a regular at Inda Coffee in Colombia, and he kept talking about how he wanted to ask out a barista... And I kept telling him that, like, I was like, I just fundamentally do not believe in asking people out while they're working. I think it's an unfair dynamic. I think it's gross. And I object to it. He asked her out anyways. I think she, like, made plans with him and then, like, ghosted him. And so he was like, I don't know if I can go back to that.
I mean, it's the same thing with my cigar thing. Like, we all have dating apps nowadays. Why would you even risk the relationship when it's going to... How is your relationship with that store not more important to you than your potential date with that employee?
You can live without love. You can't live without coffee.
I know. That's what, like, find somebody on a dating app. They'll ghost you too, but then you also won't have to stop going to your favorite coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. Or have you done that thing where you've swiped on someone that you know from somewhere? Like that?
No.
No? I think I have some... stories like that, but I don't remember anything interesting.
Davis, I think, is a smaller town.
That's true. Yeah, and so anyways, it used to be a whole thing where I would make fun of him for any time he talked about a service industry person being cute, or just him just terrorizing the town of Colombia with his love-struckness.
I don't know if I'm allowed to tell this story, but I don't think he listened, so it's fine. I also have somebody in my life who had a crush on a barista and would keep going to that coffee shop, even though I was like, their coffee is like, their regular coffee was good. Their iced coffee, not that good. It was like that iced coffee where you could tell they just use their regular coffee and put ice cubes in there. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's a little bitter. It's not that good. I don't know why you like iced coffee is why you go there so often. And then it was like, oh, like there was like a flirty thing going on where there was always a little chat with the barista. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense why you're a regular there.
Nasty boy.
Nasty. I don't think he ever asked her out now.
No, the other story that I have is, I think I told you once about the like one really annoying night I had with a friend who got way too drunk and did a lot of things that I didn't like. And one of the things that he did was he tried to buy the bartender a shot while we were there. And I told him, like, straight up to his face, I was like, I think it's gross to hit on people while they're working. And he was like, well, I just asked her, like, if she can say no and it'll be fine. And I was like, all right, dude.
Also,
that being said, both the bartenders there were very hot that
night. Don't waste your money. She can get a shot if she wants. She works there.
No, it's about the value that you're adding to her life, Paul.
Yeah, I think I fundamentally...
It's about the implication.
Yeah, make sure she sees you grab a customer review card so she knows.
You're on the Yelp page on your phone. You show her a little flash. Okay, so I've made my feelings on this pretty clear. Did you want to say anything about it?
No, I agree. Just don't do it. What a bad idea. This person says that, I guess she's a lesbian or straight and it's a guy she's hitting on. If you do flip the genders, it does feel a little bit less bad, but still not great. And then I guess finally there's three of them, barista and bartender. We've talked about bartender seems even harder because they're even more like,
yeah,
you know, you're drunk. That's an even tougher, like, nah, just not at all.
Pizza delivery person, I forgot to bring that up about, have you ever had like a regular person deliver to you? But I don't think we do that as much anymore. We don't really live those lives.
I think one of the most upsetting days ever was when I did an Uber Eats order, and then later that day, Ben, my roommate, did an Uber Eats order, and it was the same person. And I was like, no. Like, that person thinks we're so gross. They think somebody in this household is getting all three meals Uber Eats to them a day.
Oh, man. The other story I have about this was with my friend Alex. We were at... the Ruby Tuesdays in Lexington, South Carolina, in high school. But the way that he did this is that he thought our waitress was cute. So on our way out, he wrote his number on a Sweet and Low packet and gave it to the hostess and said, give that to the sweetie who was our waitress or whatever. And I was like, oh, God, that kid, at least he was willing to try. I'll give him that, I guess.
I think it would have worked if he'd also had a pun for low, not just sweet.
Give her this on the low for that little sweetie.
Yeah. Also, she's not going to hear him say, give this to the sweetie. Like, he's doing the charming part for the other person.
Yeah, so that she can big up him. This is hard for me because I don't know when the last time I, like, just asked somebody out on a date in person was. I would say, hey, what's your address?
Okay, let's roleplay this out, Adrian. I say my address.
Oh, that's pretty far away. Do you maybe want to have someone to walk with you on your way home tonight?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay. Well, I will schedule someone to do that. I have a lot of money, so I have the money to pay someone to do that. And I could give you other fine things in life as well if you were to be my betrothed.
You know, I'm actually already married to five men. I'm kind of in
the rap game.
I'm married to the rap game and five men because I'm kind of in an opposite Mormon sort of situation.
You want to make a six?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you pulled that off, Adrian.
Hey, all right, cool. Hey, come on, that worked.
You get it on a waitress.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was a barista and a waitress. I would never ask out a waitress.
Oh, yeah, that'd be weird. That'd be creepy.
Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, you do a good job bringing me chicken tendies. I think I could see myself falling for you.
All right, you want to hear this answer?
Yeah, I want to hear what the expert has to say about this. Clearly, we're not experts on this.
The short answer is no. There is no non-creepy way to ask out a barista while they're at work. But your question does a good job of acknowledging some of the reasons why that is. As you've noted, being nice to you is a part of a service job. Actually, if you look at job postings online, you'll see that after pulling shots, the second requirement of any barista is to smile and nod all the way through a story about your dog's diarrhea. A serious flirtatious vibe becomes really hard to judge in a situation where social generosity is a person's primary means of getting paid. Oh yeah, we didn't talk about how everybody feels like they have sexual charisma with every Trader Joe's employee, but we can do that once I finished reading this.
Oh yeah, Coleman once sent me a meme about how, like, it feels like everybody at Trader Joe's is either fucking each other or fucking all the customers, and I can't tell which.
It does kind of feel like they're definitely all also hooking up with each other. That one's just true.
I mean, I told him my ratio was 1-to-1 customers and coworkers, so.
When a barista is flirty, see, actually nice and attentive, you tip them. When they draw a heart with the milk in your latte, which, spoiler, they do for everyone, you think, ooh la la, c'est l'amour, and keep returning to the cafe. Your crush works in the service industry. Also, I've never gotten a heart in my coffee. I always get the flower. None of these baristas want to fuck me, man. Oh, you get the tree?
I usually get Van Gogh's Starry Night.
Your crush works in the service industry. Cafe and good service is not synonymous with flirting, but your experience as a server has already taught you that. I don't mean to freak out, but those gross dudes who used to hit on you at work, they also perceived a flirtatious vibe, which they felt justified their action. Think about how wrong they were. Now, I'm not saying that you are yourself a gross dude, just that, whoa, is there a lot to unpack before you make a move on someone in the service industry? And also, please, please don't make that move while the person is working.
Wait, did I miss you doing the French part of this?
Yeah.
Oh.
C'est l'amour?
Oh. I'll hear it back in the audio.
Putting someone in that position while they're at work, where they can't for fear of losing their job, tell you to fuck off? Yuck. Cafe? No. Why does she keep sprinkling the word cafe in at random points? I'm not sure what that is.
It's punchy writing.
That's such a gross exercise of power that I want to cry and then die. Please play Sarah McLachlan's Angel at my funeral. Speaking of power, I think it's also necessary to unpack how much your crush on a barista or anyone in the service industry is rooted in the position of power you occupy when you walk into a business as a customer. Do repeated interactions wherein you are always right affect the ways you perceive and perhaps fetishize this person? I mean,
Whoa. We're
talking about someone who remains friendly while you literally use money to control their body. If that kind of absolution isn't crushable, I don't know what is. If after you've unpacked all of this stuff, you still believe there's more between you than customer service, then I would recommend trying to engage your crush outside of the power dynamics of a coffee shop. Do you have mutual friends? Are they on social media? Your crush's response to a friend request could help you gauge their interest in interacting with you off the clock. And whatever you do, be prepared to switch coffee shops if that doesn't work. Do not keep showing up and forcing another person to interact with you if they've made it clear they're not interested.
Hmm.
I don't know about the part where they literally called the question asker a rapist, but other than
I was also a little bit. I mean, I guess they were just saying something to know when I'm back.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think if somebody's writing into an advice column and already saying, I know that the person has to act flirtatious because it's their job, the person's probably already self-aware enough that you don't have to worry about them being that unreasonably malicious in their intentions.
Yeah, that's true.
You literally are controlling their body with your money. You
sick fuck.
I've called the Mounties to come and get you just because you wrote this in.
That's true. That's how they handle it up in Canada, we.
Yeah.
All right, freshen up and then round two.
Sounds good.
All right, ready for round two?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The column that I brought in for today. Classic Little Dear Prudy. From February 18th, 2020. Help! The bartender I hooked up with has banned me from my favorite bar. And this is from a live chat episode. So I guess this means that he wrote this at the time? Live? I don't know. Okay. Here we go. Question. Banned and gaslit. I was a regular at this bar for most of last year, going at least once a week. I became good friends with one of the bartenders and started to develop feelings for him. Eventually, I asked him out. He said that he was seeing someone else and they were exclusive. I accepted the answer, and we continued to interact as friends at the bar. A couple of weeks later, after a shift was over, a few staff members of the bar and me and a friend all went to another bar. The bartender was there too, and basically, he invited me to his place after we kissed. We hooked up, and the following morning, he sent me a message asking me not to come to the two bars where he works until we had a conversation about the hookup. He went totally silent for a few days, and when we finally talked, he was 45 minutes late and only ended up talking to me for 10 minutes. He said he was embarrassed about the hookup. I told him that there was nothing to be embarrassed about. We decided to keep being friends. I went to his bar a couple times after, and he was totally hot and cold, sometimes being friendly and other times ignoring me for an hour, even though he had been serving me drinks. He kept doing this at a second bar, and at one point I called him a coward while there were no other customers there and only one other employee. Since that incident, he has told the staff and managers at the bar where I was a regular at that he feels uncomfortable around me and that I was yelling at him. I didn't yell. He told me I was banned from that bar. I spoke to the manager and he said I should wait a couple of weeks until tempers cool before going back. This weekend, a bartender who used to work at this bar told me he heard from multiple people that I went psycho. I feel like the bartender I hooked up with is making me out to be a stereotypical crazy woman. I recognize I confronted him at work, but I genuinely don't think that justifies banning me from both bars and telling people that I'm crazy or whatever. I feel like I'm being gaslit. He is treating me like such a villain, even though he has been inconsiderate to me this entire time. I want to speak again to the manager because I feel like I am being unfairly treated. What do you think I should do?
I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in the right or wrong. Leave this person alone at this point. As a third party observer who doesn't have all the information, I kind of think you're in the wrong because you want to talk to his manager, which makes me judge your decision-making abilities. But even if the story as you told it to us, which does make it sound like he was unfair to you.
He's not explaining things in a sufficient way.
If he was being unfair to you, at this point, you just gotta let it go. I mean, it's a guy's job. Like, your favorite bar is not as important as him keeping his employment. Sorry.
Can I ask you a question, Paul? Have you ever worked anywhere where you had the unilateral power to ban people?
No, that is crazy that he as a bartender gets to ban people.
That is cool.
I mean, it is weird she still wanted to interact with a guy after he was so weirdly, like, hot and cold. You know, at that point, wouldn't you just be like, okay, I'm just going to keep going to my bar and stop interacting with this guy? He's clearly a little bit off his rocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if he's off his rocker.
Well, not off his rocker, but you know what I mean. Like, he's clearly, like, it's not worth engaging with this person.
She didn't say anything about how good the sex was. Do you think that she didn't understand what he meant by it was embarrassing that they hooked up?
Think about that. Come on.
I mean, she was just like, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's just me, Becky, from the bar. Just a hot piece of ass that everyone's after. No reason to fucking be embarrassed about fucking me.
And just so everybody knows, this bit isn't problematic because whatever you consider unattractive is what this person looks like.
Yeah.
So it's not at all any of the...
I look like Kate Upton.
Yeah. That's what
Kate
we're
Upton's
imagining.
Kate Upton's hotter sister. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's just embarrassed that he fucked a regular who he knew wanted to fuck him.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It is weird that she hasn't let it go. Like, at a certain point, you have to realize you're not going to win with a person and you stop engaging. But it seems like she does want to keep engaging, which does make me think, like, just leave this guy alone. Why at this point?
Could you imagine if this was, like, the origin story of you being married and you had to tell people this?
Yeah, like, why is she still, like, after he said he didn't want to see me anymore, now it's like he's hot and he's cold? Like, I guess he said he wanted to be friends. So maybe he was being unfair.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah, it seems like she should have taken a hint, and for some reason she wasn't, and now she's like, I can't understand why. I don't know. There's a lot going on here, a lot of subtleties of human interaction, which, you know, is not the forte of this podcast.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't know why, but for some reason, when this the other thing that I thought about, Justin would have been a good guest for this one. He's also a regular at Drip. And one of the cool things about being a regular there is we usually stay until closing because, you know, it's a coffee shop that closes at like 8. We'd go do something afterwards. The one really nice lady who always worked the night shift would always give us whatever leftover bakery items they had that night. It was great. It was a great racket.
It was a great racket we were running. And then we'd sell them for 2 times.
We'd go out that night. We'd wait till it's about like midnight when everyone's really drunk. And we'd be like, hey, we got a scone for $50. Who wants it? Anyways, that has nothing to do with this, but I'm surprised Justin never asked anybody out at Drip. He also told me about how he was going to ask out his neighbor, and I was like, do you have no shame?
His neighbor? I don't know why. Come on now, you gotta move.
It's in an apartment complex too, right? It's not even like your neighbor like in that next house. Anyways, how do you feel about this woman who's being gaslit? How do you feel about the sexism aspect of this one?
Wait, what's the Oh, because she was called crazy.
It seems like she was an embarrassing person to have sex with. I think that's what I'm stuck on, is that I don't think she thinks of herself as being an embarrassing person to have sex with.
I think of it as, like, too hard for us to tell, to be honest with you, what's really going on. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what's really going on. Like, just leave a person alone at a certain point. Like, if they've made it that clear they don't want you at their place of work, like, you can find another bar. Like, you need to stop whatever is going on.
There's a very obvious answer, Paul. This is February 2020. You're not going to be a regular at that bar very long.
That's actually very true. Holy shit. She was writing in about this as she was like, huh, that's crazy on the news. There's this whole COVID thing going on.
There's been 18 of these things?
That's so funny. Your life is about to be upended, you dumbass.
It's about to get real lonely. Shackle up with whoever's willing to shackle up with you right now.
Yeah, you need to forget this guy and get in good with somebody else. Okay, it seems like we disagree about this one. Can we both at least agree that I want to speak again to the manager is insane? At the most, no matter what's going on here, speaking to his manager is not the solution to this.
I mean, going over his head to get unbanned from a place. It's weird that he has that power, but yeah, it is generally a shitty thing to do.
Did he ban her as in, like, she would actually be kicked out, or he asked her not to come into where he worked? Because I guess I thought more of the first, but he told me I was banned from the bar. I spoke to the manager, and he said I should wait a couple weeks until tempers cool down. I don't know. That feels fair to me, given a couple weeks. I just keep coming back to the idea that a bar is not that important in your life compared to how serious
being
the fact that
is.
You've made him incredibly uncomfortable is, and their employment is. Like, you can give it a couple weeks. You know, I don't know. I can't help but read this and feel like the way she said it, yes, she is in the right. But at the end of the day, you just got to give it up to, like, he works there. Like, even if he misread it and he's being unfair, like, his comfort still maybe is more important than your ability to go drink there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. So the answer is just get over it. COVID's coming.
Give it a couple weeks. And I mean, by then COVID will have happened. But
tell everybody about his penis.
Oh, that is actually a good one. Tell everybody he had a tiny penis, and he told you that he was worried you were going to tell people, and now that you've been banned,
now that you're nothing dark to lose. Rachel or whatever your name is.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. For whatever reason, he thought it was embarrassing to sleep with her, and she didn't think it was embarrassing to
sleep
with
him. She's like a real
him.
Amy
That's
Schumer type,
yeah. Dichotomy. No, because Amy Schumer famously knows she's embarrassing to sleep with. She's built a whole career around that observation.
All right, cool. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think you should go to a different bar. You're never going to get a satisfactory answer from this man about why he doesn't want to go out with you and why he treated sex with you like an embarrassing secret. All you need to know is that he doesn't respect you and is not going to treat you well, no matter what you do or say. Trying to force the manager to change their mind about letting you back in the bar in the interest of trying to convince this bartender to admit he treated you badly is not the way to go through this. Moreover, no manager in the world is going to rethink a ban if the customer they fear is going to be disruptive contacts them to say, "Stop banning me and let me in." It doesn't matter if you don't think it was worth being banned over. The point is that you can't demonstrate that they were wrong to ban you by insisting they were wrong to ban you. I don't think you can get water out of this well, and it will only cause you additional pain to try and contact him again and find yourself rebuffed and turned away.
Yeah, I think that was a very clear-eyed answer. Was that a Prudy? What was
it? That was Danny Levy.
Okay, yeah. Danny Levy.
I think instead of sending a text saying, "Let me in," you should send the Eric Andre meme.
I think instead of sending a text saying, "Let me in," you should say, "Oh, that was actually the other Rachel. I have bipolar disorder. I have multiple personalities disorder. So you haven't actually banned me."
Yeah, you can't prove that you banned me.
You banned my other personality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I have an identical twin who was in town.
She's really weird about hooking up with bartenders. But me, I'm chill.
That is the cool way to do it, is to prove that you're actually so chill. All right, Paul, so, you know, there's plenty of places to be a regular at, but a lot of times people want to be regulars not at what's real, but at their favorite places they see on the silver screen. Wait, is TV the silver screen or is TV the different screen?
Silver screen is the movies.
What's the TV screen?
The Black Mirror.
Oh, okay, in the Black Mirror. So we got a couple articles here about famous hangout spots from televisions. We're going to go through them. We're going to talk about whether or not we'd want to be there. In this particular instance, it can either be that'd be where you'd want to hang out with your friends, or that's where you'd want to hang out with the people in this show. So we have one that's ranked, and let's go through it. I have no idea why, but for some reason, number one is McLaren's pub from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, did I tell you? I had actually already made lists for places. I thought we were going to make lists, and so I made places that I would and wouldn't want to go. But I guess these probably cover all those, so. This is more holistic anyway. Okay. You said McLaren's Pub. Is that the one from How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, it doesn't seem particularly notable in any way.
Yeah, I always thought that place looked like such an average bar, which I guess was the idea. But like, I've been to places like that. I wouldn't want to spend as much time as they spend there.
They live in like New York City, right?
Yeah.
There's gotta be better bars.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, Cheers from Cheers. I didn't know that was the name of the bar.
Ooh, I don't like the fact that it has, like, a no windows vibe going on. I think that's my problem with a lot of the bars. It's, like...
too dark?
The damp crit. Like, I don't want to spend that much time with somewhere with no natural light.
Was Cheers... did it take place entirely in the bar?
I didn't watch a lot of Cheers. I don't think so, but maybe?
I've never seen a single episode. So, I don't know. I like the idea of being able to say, "Norm," when a guy walks in, but that's about it. All right, number three... I'm surprised this wasn't number one. This wasn't number one. Central Perk.
I mean, that's a hell yes. That place seems delightful. Lots of natural lighting, comfortable couches, Gunther sexually harassing the patrons. What's not to love?
Well, but how do you feel about the fact that there are six friends that come in there and dominate the space all the time?
Oh, yeah. I do like the meta episodes where they do a little meta commentary on that, where they just like are very rude and kick people out of their favorite chairs. Just like, "Shoo, get out of here." The person's like, "Well, I was sitting here." They're like, "No, you weren't." That is a good bit.
I don't know if I'm ever going to have a friend group that regularly meets at a coffee shop, though.
No, I'm never going to live somewhere like that, I don't think.
All right. Oh, number four. Classic. Let me know if this is on your list. Little Moe's Tavern.
Oh, no. I think bars are just always going to be out. I don't want to spend that much time in a bar. It's just never going to be my, like, vibe.
Wait, okay, so if you're not hanging out at a coffee shop and you're not hanging out at a bar, where's your usual hangout with your boys?
Wait, I said Central Perk, yes.
Oh, okay, all right.
Do you want to hang out at Moe's?
No, it seems like an older crowd. I don't know if that's my vibe.
Yeah, it seems like the joke about Moe's is that they're all alcoholics.
Yeah.
Which are usually the coolest people, but...
kind of seems a little
I mean, not if... What?
Kind of seems a little bit fun.
I feel like I wouldn't fit in with it. Like, you know, I would want to be on the in group, but they wouldn't want me on the in group, and that would be the problem.
It reminds me of when I was back home for 6 months, and I think there was like one day of the week where Phil and the gang usually couldn't hang out. So I would just go to the tavern in Lexington, South Carolina, and boy, oh boy, talking about not fitting in a bar. I would just go there with my laptop and get work done, and there'd just be people having little hoedowns and drinking their drinks and hanging out with each other and telling stories where they're saying the N-word mid-sentence and they stop because they see me coming in. Okay. Arnold's Diner from Happy Days. I don't know this one. Couldn't tell you.
I don't know this one. Couldn't tell you.
All right. Very iconic. Monk's. The restaurant.
From Seinfeld?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know it from the show Seinfeld. I know it from other, like, outside sources.
What do you mean?
I don't think they... Do they ever mention the name in Seinfeld that it's called Monk's?
Probably, yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's probably, like, in episode... Season 7, episode 6, someone says it.
Yeah.
I heard they got great cereal.
Yeah, I would
cereal.
Love to go there. I would love to be a regular at a diner.
You know, it's a vibe. Maybe if I was Jerry's age, it would be a thing where I'd go there and get my cereal.
Also, I think at the show, how old were they supposed to be? Like early 30s?
Yeah, late we're not too far away from that now, are we?
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy. Well, that's grim.
I think it looks like a nice diner. I don't fundamentally believe in their choice to always sit so close to the entrance.
Mm.
Kind of weird. I don't want to be like where people are coming and going.
Don't they sometimes go to the side? Don't they always sometimes have that side view of where they are in the cafe?
Once in a while, they'll switch seats, but their most common one is that.
Mm. Yeah, I think if, I don't know, it's just one of those things that it seems tenable in the 90s where you could eat at a diner every day for $5 and you're like, oh, okay, that's like not a terrible, way to spend money. But like now it's like, you go to IHOP, you get one country fried steak and hash browns and pancakes and it's like $15 and it's like, well, fuck me and my big ol' ass.
Oh, have I ever told you my IHOP story?
Shut up. All right. So next one we're doing, Luke's Diner from the Gilmore Gals. So
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Okay, in this article, I'm getting a picture of what the outside looks like, but I don't know what the inside looks like. So I think I've told you before, I have a very extensive rubric by which I judge certain hangout spots. And so if I can't see the inside, I can't judge it.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. Music type, music volume, outlet distribution, seating arrangement, type of seat, variety of...
I will assume because it's a show that they didn't have loud music going on in there.
I don't know. All right, number 8. This one's for the Gen Zers. The Krusty Krab.
You know I'm not a SpongeBob head, so this one's for you, Adrian.
It's just not a place to... I don't know. I couldn't see myself hanging out there all the time.
Yeah, it does seem... I think one of my bigger problems with the sillier shows, at least when I was thinking about this, was it seems too hectic. And I haven't seen a lot of SpongeBob, but from what I've seen, it seems like you would always be dealing with hijinks and stuff. Like, is that really what you want after work on a Thursday?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, this is one that I don't have strong opinions on, but I do know. The Hub from the 70s show. That 70s show.
Nah, because I would always be like, let's just head back to Eric's basement. Come on, y'all. That's a fun place to hang out in this world.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's just so... Maybe because they're underage, but it just seems kind of boring. Yeah. It seems like us going to Starbucks in Lexington or whatever. Like I get it's stylized for the time, but like I don't know.
It also seems like subpar food. It seems like you're getting like a hot dog that's boiled in like a pot. You know, the food is
you're getting
not
some frozen
crinkle
fries.
Cut fries that are frozen and just rebaked. Mm-hmm. Nothing special.
Okay, this one's from a show for Family Guy. Called Family Guy.
The Oyster? Is that the name of the bar there?
Nasty. No, it's called the Drunken Clam.
Oh. That's kind of close. No. Kind of seems like a shitty bar.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how they got away with this. By the way, at the end of this, if I miss any of yours, you can speak up or whatever. But we're only on number 11. We're out of the top 10, though. We're out of the Big 10. But we're on the cusp of it, which is apparently the Big Bang Theory. They just hung out at the Cheesecake Factory. They just like got the license to hang out at Cheesecake Factory.
No, that's actually a really funny story. They didn't. It looked nothing like a Cheesecake Factory, and I think multiple people pointed that out. And then later on in the series, the Cheesecake Factory, it's where Penny worked. The Cheesecake Factory, I think, retroactively gave them permission to use it. Like, It was just something written into season one. It looks nothing like any Cheesecake Factory you've ever seen. And I think maybe through silence or through the fact that they didn't sue them, it just became a thing where it's like, okay, well, like, they're just going to keep doing this.
Okay. There's some real lore to that one.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Cheesecake Factory?
The one in the show looks really boring. It honestly doesn't look like any restaurant I've ever seen. It looks like they picked a room from, like, a hotel ballroom and put chairs and tables there. It's a really weird set. They did not, like, do anything good with it.
I don't know if you got to this part of the series, but the picture that they put up makes it look like Sheldon got a job bussing tables there for some reason. I bet that ensued in some hijinks.
That would be funny. Yeah, my parents liked that show. I never saw that episode.
In general, though, Cheesecake Factory, you a fan?
It's one of those places that's fun to go to as a novelty. Like, they have the massive menu, their cheesecake is legitimately good. It's overpriced. It's, you know, you go there because it's like, I don't know. You're making a trip out to the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, I went to one when I was shopping at the outlets in Vegas, I think.
You know, weird. We both went out when we were out west. I went to one in Denver, Colorado, was the first time I'd been to one.
Ooh, okay. All right. Okay, this is a little bit before my time, but Paul, you're an old soul. Maybe you know this one. The Max from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. No, it has those really gross, thin diner tables. I don't like them.
It's like the kind plasticky. Of what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. People like this one, man. This is one where I remember there being a pop-up of, like, someone recreating the set to do, like, a little pop-up burger joint or something.
It has the same thing as that 70s show where it feels like they're just boiling hot dogs in there. And it feels like you're drinking gross, like, stale Cokes out of those, like, weird tempered glass cups.
Mm-hmm. Damn, okay. People have a lot of nostalgia for that age, and you're just like, nah. I hate the red Coca-Cola ones, cups that they use. All right, here's an easy yes for me. Patty's Pub. That would be the one person in the background during all of the hijinks.
Yeah, those guys always look so sad. I don't want to be that guy.
Ah, come on. No. You get a couple friends over there. Come on now. Beer's cheap.
I love the show.
They always forget to close you out.
I'm going to be a mark for their scams, you know?
Oh, that is true. They're going to try something out on you.
Do you really want to be there when they're bringing in a bunch of children for a swimsuit competition?
Is that an episode?
Yeah, it might have been just the general beauty contest, but I know there was a swimsuit portion.
All right, yeah, you're right. I'd rather just be at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
Bob's Burgers, I don't know. Is that even a regular spot they hang out? They just work there, right?
Well, what's his name? One of the side Teddy? Characters, the one, Eddie, yeah. Yeah,
nah.
He's a regular there.
We'll want to hang out with Teddy.
No, I don't like how much pressure there would be to talk to Bob. While you were there. Seems like a place where you have to make small talk with the person behind the counter.
What about Linda? I think you and Linda would have hit it off.
What if she gave you something, but not permanently, like she just lent you something? Would she be a Linda?
No, she was a Linda.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I would love to go.
Simpsons is on here twice with Krusty Burger. I think that was my issue with the Krusty Krab. Is that it just feels like a fast food place where they're kind of trying to push you out. It's not like a place where you go and sit down and hang out for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree. There was another one that I'm sure is on this list, but bring it up already because that reminded me of it. Los Pollos Hermanos. Seems like...
Why do people want to go there, though? Isn't it just a front for a drug operation? Is it even good?
Yeah, that's my thing. First off, the food probably isn't good because it's a front. Second off, like... Being a regular there would be horrible. That would be so sad. There's no way the employees are going to know you. There's definitely a ton of turnover. And it looks like they're trying to push you out. Like, you're not coming there to stay.
Yeah, that's like that lore about McDonald's when they first opened up an indoor part of the restaurant. They, like, purposely made the seating uncomfortable and tilted so that you'd get out as fast as possible.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And they put a whoopee cushion under every chair so you'd be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, oh, I get it.
And every 20 minutes, spikes come out of it. Cafe Nervosa.
I know that name. What is that from?
I don't know how to pronounce this. Frazier?
Oh, Frazier? Shit. Adrian, come on, don't be rude.
Oh, right. It's Binging with Babish's favorite show, Frazier, right?
No, I would not want to go there. It looks like a really, like, dusty, not fun old person place.
I mean, that kind of sounds like my vibe. Let's see. We're going, Pat. I assume you don't know these franchises, so maybe if you do, you can stop me. I Love Lucy. Three's Company, Roseanne, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, JJ's Diner, Parks and Recreation.
They barely show it.
You know, it's kooky that a lady legs waffles.
Hey, Adrian, I want all your eggs. I'm worried what you heard was
I want a lot of eggs. A
lot of eggs.
I was also going to reference that joke. I don't know why that stuck out with both of us.
Yeah, I don't know. It really seems more like a vehicle for her quirkiness. Doesn't really show up that much in the show to be like a type of place that's a usual.
Yeah.
One of the weaker restaurants in a show that I've seen.
You know, have you ever been to like a kind of a cool diner where like they're owned by a certain type of family or something that makes it interesting?
Oh, like where you're like at a Greek-Italian diner or
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember one time I was going out to when my dad was visiting. We had to go to a car shop. And so we were out in like a weird part of Sacramento. Can't even tell you where it was. But we wanted to get breakfast. So we went to a diner. It was owned by an Indian couple. And so I got a tandoori chicken omelet. And it wasn't
that's awesome.
It wasn't amazing, but I was like, this is cool that this is an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. Now I do kind of want like versions of that for every cuisine.
Yeah.
I want just like whatever. Yeah. That's fun.
All right. Let's see. Once Upon a Time. I don't think either of us are watching that. I don't think either of us are big on Bones. You big?
Wait, Once Upon a Time?
Yeah.
I saw the first season of that. I don't remember where they ate. That's the one where
Granny's
the
diner.
Witch puts a curse on the town, so it's modern day, but everybody in the town is like a fairy tale character.
Yeah.
Yeah, why would you think I wouldn't watch that show, Adrian?
I don't know. It's definitely up your alley. How do you feel about Granny's Diner?
I don't remember.
It does have the type of table that you don't like.
Oh, get it out
the,
of
like,
here.
Like plasticky with the metallic edge or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Charmed. They were regulars at a nightclub?
Wait, the bar that they hang out at?
Yeah, they were regulars at a nightclub.
They owned it. What's a big part of the plot?
Wait, what? They owned a nightclub?
Yeah.
Is that why they were always wearing like silk shirts and their like hair was always slicked back?
Yeah, they had to go to their nightclub.
They had like the big gold jewelry that they would wear?
Yeah, yeah, she owns that nightclub. It's a very big part of the plot.
Really? Because vampires need to be out at night, or...
No, they round out the episode by getting drinks there.
Oh, so does that have a nostalgic place in your heart then?
No, it didn't seem like a very fun place.
The P3?
I remember one episode where I was like, why are they ordering Perrier's? That's really one of the main things I remember from that nightclub, once they had three Perrier's with straws in them.
Okay. Oh, the Peacock Stop. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Because they were at UCLA, or where were they?
I remember they couldn't make it into that East Coast school, so they got stuck in a UC school. I don't remember
which
one.
They couldn't go to Princeton, right?
Yeah.
Even though Will got in because he could do a Rubik's Cube, which would never happen now.
Could you imagine now? He'd be like, yeah, you saw a YouTube video. Cool, dude. Can you do the interview?
Okay, and that's basically it. I guess there's the other article, but was there anything else that you wanted to bring in? I can skim another article to see if there's anything new.
Yeah, Adrian, there's a number one place that I would love to be a regular at that you didn't mention.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, and this is a place, most of all, if I could be a regular anywhere, where I would want to be, Satriella's Pork Store from The Sopranos.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, I don't know what that is.
To sit outside of that shop with some old Italian man.
Pork Store.
At a rinky metallic table.
Mm-hmm.
Just
talking about how you all
shop.
Don't go down on your wives.
Oh my god. I bet you, oh dude, I just imagined the cured meats there, the best I've had in my life.
Mm.
Oh.
I could see that.
There were some places that I purposely put I wouldn't want to go. Bob's Burgers, Los Pollos Hermanos was on that list. The one that you didn't mention was Vesuvio's from The Sopranos. Really stuffy Italian restaurant. Don't care for that fancy stuff.
Oh, okay.
You catch me at Satriella's. Otherwise, some other places I would want to go, La Ratatouille, the restaurant that they opened at the end of Ratatouille.
Where they were regulars at? Okay. They had a regular table there.
I would be a regular there. I want to see how well that rat cooks. The food looked delicious in that movie. The Cantina from Star Wars. I would go there for a night.
I mean, I would go there for that music. Did I tell you about that time when I had people over for Thanksgiving and I just played a 49-minute loop of that song? And
that seems like such an asshole move.
A very dumb ditzy girl who came over was like, I like how classy the music you guys played is.
It's like jazz if it was spacey. Yeah, those were the only places you didn't mention I had on my list.
All right, yeah, I didn't make a list ahead of time, so I can't think of, ooh, I don't know, because in Bored to Death, it's a real, like, you know, love letter to New York. They're always at different bars and stuff like that, so I don't know what other, like, shows I can think of. In Avatar, they're traveling the whole time. They don't have, like, a central location.
Yeah, but, you know, you'd have to, I would have to stop at least. I think the only food I remember is, like, the fire, what are they, the fire cracklins?
Mm-hmm, from the Fire Festival.
Get, and
and not the, F-Y-R-E one. It wasn't Ja Rule who was up in there. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, yeah. Different Fire Festival. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really can't think of one. So I think we hit all the basics. And I think a lot of those places were unremarkable by design. That was kind of the point. It was supposed to be a neighborhood joint.
Do you have a number one from that list? A place? Because I think Central Perk, to me, the most, like, I don't know. That's the one I would actually want to spend the most time in. It's like, it was pretty well designed.
Yeah. I think mine would have to be a bar. I don't think I could be a regular with my friends at a coffee shop. So I think for me,
well, look at Adrian,
it would probably be P3 Nightclub from Charmed. Give me a Perrier, baby. That's where I want to end my night.
Gonna have a Perrier while we wrap up our discussion about the demons we killed today.
Yeah, about the sorcery and the spells I did today.
About the demons, ghouls, and goblins. Did I ever tell you this? There is a plot line from the show which still cracked me up when I think about it from Charmed. Which is, in one episode they go back in time and meet some of their ancestor witches. And they learn that they don't actually have to make their spells rhyme to work. And they still just keep making them rhyme to work. They're like, nah, it's better if it rhymes.
You gotta rhyme, baby. Oh, you know what? Actually, I just thought of a series that would have a regular spot that I can't remember what it was. Will and Grace, though? Café Jacques. That's where I would go. That's where I'd spend my time.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was when Jack opens up a café right outside of his apartment with a little patio chair and like a little table.
If that's all it is?
Yeah. That's Café Jacques. I would go there every day.
Okay. I'll be across the street at Central Perk.
Hey, come on. Like that, technically, in the same cinematic universe of New York City. That was the cool part of one of the lists that I looked at, was that Sex and the City just had unnamed café. All right, big fact?
Yeah, so I think my big fact for this episode is, honestly, more less than talking about being a usual somewhere, we talked about trying to date people where you're a usual at. And I would say, never mix business and money. Wait, did I say never mix business and money?
That is what you
never
said.
Never mix business and pleasure.
Ah, okay, that also makes sense. Never mix business and money.
Never mix business and money.
That's your impression of an Italian guy who always fails at being an entrepreneur?
being in business is about doing schemes with your friends. Don't ruin it by trying to make money.
Make money. And my no cap is, you know, any people who are service industry who recognize me as a regular, if I remember your name, I'm trying to smash, you know? Otherwise, I'm not going to remember your name, you know what I mean?
Wait. Have you been taking advice from Schmitty again?
What are you talking about?
I was listening to another podcast, Adrian, and did you steal If I Remember Your Name, It's Because I'm Trying to Smash from Schmitty?
No, you can't prove that. Like, we independently came up with that idea.
All right, but I've got my eyes on you for stealing more of Schmitty's material.
All right, all right. See you later, bruh.
Bye, buddy.